Now, Mike, who's also joining us today, he's one of the first 5K winners. He has something called Next Mile. Mike, tell me a bit about Next Mile.
Next Mile basically designs and manufactures sports-specific insoles, and primarily targeting the 8 to 14-year-old athlete.
Okay.
You've got roughly in the United States about 50 million kids between the ages of 8 and 18, but you've got half of them in that 8 to 14-year-old range. And what you'll find in the research and basically on sideline experiences, that about 70 to 75% of them are dealing with knee or heel pain. We're pushing our kids ever younger, ever harder into sports, and it's taking a bit of a toll. So our insoles are designed to relieve the pressures that cause that pain.
Okay, okay. And what was it that attracted you to StartGarden?
I think that, you know, with a startup, there's a whole class of startups that don't fit traditional funding models. They're not necessarily attractive to large venture capital funds who are looking at 20 to 30 times return on their money. They're too small even for the angel groups typically that deal in that 500K sort of investment. And the banks, frankly, in the last six, 7 years have just gotten out of this type of support, funding support for startups. So I think for StartGarden, what attracted me was the fact that I think that they're innovative in and of themselves in their funding model.
Sure.
And the best way I can put it is I think they get it. You know, I think they get this whole area of business and startups and what it is to seed.
So. Now, why go in that direction versus, you know, go, a lot of people are doing Kickstarters or types of microfunding campaigns.
Right. You've got kind of the social funding programs that are out there. And I think that the reason for StartGarden, and I think the real advantage that they have, and Paul touched on this, is that entrepreneurs can make a mistake in thinking that just give me the money.
Right.
Okay. And the resources that these folks bring to bear in terms of the partners that are established, their network within this community, that's where a tremendous amount of value beyond the dollars are provided.
Now, with the insoles, are you a foot doctor? Do you have experience in that world? How did you come to have an interest in that?
Long story short, this actually started as a graduate school project.
Okay.
Myself and a couple of my fellow students. I had 15 years on all of them. We were all running, and what we realized is we were running in the same shoes.
Okay.
So from just a chronological standpoint, a physiological standpoint, we were all very different.
Okay.
We started down that path. The economy took a turn, and the cost of getting the first prototypes built went from $50K to about $1 million minimum order.
That's pretty big.
And it was standing on the sideline at one of my son's soccer games at a very large tournament where we first realized that you had massive numbers of kids that were dealing with heel and knee pain. So through the experience on the shoes, I had gotten connected with the former heads of advanced product development at both Nike and Adidas. Went back to them, said, you've got these kids that are hurting.
Right.
One, you've got a problem that needs to be solved. But two, massive numbers represent a market, an opportunity. So we went into the research, found what we thought was an indicator of a solution, and came up with a design, and we've been testing it. We've got it in about 700 athlete shoes.
Oh, wow.
First model.
Fantastic.
So we know it works.
Okay. Now, were you picked by the public, or did you guys pick them, Paul?
I think we chose Mike.
Okay.
He'd shown up on our radar. I think you know some people that we know, but we just thought he was an interesting guy.
What jumped out about that to you that separated itself from other projects that you'd had submitted?
Well, a big thing is obviously he was already he didn't just have a prototype. You know, he was already pushing an insole out into the market, and he had done a lot of his homework.
Done the due diligence.
Designers and
sure.
So that, I mean, immediately that becomes interesting, and I think that what Mike was sort of mentioning is that we were noticing that there wasn't, for a tech startup, there's, I think, something like 200 seed accelerator programs now. But then having somebody like Mike come across, we realize, oh, this is somebody who actually we've designed the program for. So
right.
It was sort of a, I don't know.
Pretty ready
I
to go
said
right
sure
out of the
fit,
gate.
But that starts to seem like a little corny considering the insult.
Now, for other folks who are going to submit, what would both of you have as far as recommendations, as far as how to have things already set up, ready to go? What's going to be the best way to make their business looking as good as possible?
So, well, this is something that we're we're still learning. You know, this is what, week five, mm-hmm. I think we have now just entered with Star Garden. But I think that keeping in mind that it is an investment fund, you know, mm-hmm. that we are looking for some sort of ultimate return. So it's beyond necessarily maybe a pet project or a personal project. It can be small as far as the fact that, you know, the idea is just an idea right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that there is some sort of plan for if things start to work out,
mm-hmm.
it looks like this. And I think having just some basic homework done, it sounds silly, but, you know, if it's an athletic insole for, you know, 12 to 18-year-olds or,
mm-hmm.
you know, Google it.
Right.
Athletic insole for 12 to 18.
What's being done out there in the marketplace at the
exactly.
present time, so you know where you are. But if you're coming to it with, you've got something already developed, that puts you head and shoulders above everybody else as far as what they're coming to the table with, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as much understanding as you have around your idea.
Right.
You know, it can be a really interesting idea that mm-hmm. just sounds like a completely worthy thing to put $5,000 into to see if there's... if it can get some traction.
Right.
But obviously, the more homework has been done, the more there's an understanding, the better. However, the caveat is that $5,000 investment is really our way of getting outside of the 40-page business plan.
Right.
So too much homework can also be a bad thing because you're not
doing anything. You don't want to do homework to death and you know, suck the fun out of the thing.
Yeah, we would much rather just see what somebody can do with $5,000
sure.
as a way of building our confidence, you know,
for
a future $100,000 investment rather than read a business plan. Yeah.
So what differences are you seeing between the businesses that you guys are choosing and that the public are choosing?
That's a good question. I don't know if there is that much of a difference. I think the public is pretty good at finding things that are interesting
sure.
to them, which are
with some of the stuff, you know, you're saying, okay, you know, they've got everything done. They've got the due diligence. Maybe mm-hmm. you're picking something from that angle. Maybe the public is just, okay, this seems like off the wall, but they don't mm-hmm. have everything all together. But, you know, let's throw it out there, see if it'll happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think maybe the one small gradation is that we tend to see more kind of socially oriented projects. There's an undercurrent of, you know, something that's about farming locally or something.
A lot of that going on these
like
days.
That. Yeah. So,
sure.
So there is I think it's a really interesting space, this whole idea of social entrepreneurship, which is how are we, you know, pulling together social causes and traditional business to make the world better, and it's a tricky spot right now because I don't
sure. Well,
I think most people
are doing a pretty great job of that here in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
It seems.
Yeah, no, I think that there's some projects that definitely have some great potential. I think it's hard to they're skirting the line between for profit and non profit.
Right.
So
exactly.
It's still being defined.
Sure.
You know, what that is.